This is the Rewind on Full Disclosure. I'm Jimmy Himes. We have been interviewing sports personalities in the Knoxville area. Our guest today is Carmen Tagano. Carmen Tagano was an assistant athletic director at the University of Tennessee for 35 years. Carmen, how are you?
Doing well, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this.
Well, thank you for joining us. And just tell us a story about how you wound up in Tennessee back in 1985.
Well, it goes back a little farther than that. I was at Virginia Tech. 82, 83, somewhere in there, and a job opened. There was a job opening in Colorado, the University of Colorado, and I interviewed. In fact, I remember telling Lou Tepper, you don't know who Lou Tepper is, but
yes,
it was
I
the
do.
Defensive coordinator's job. After I interviewed, I called Lou. I said, Lou, the defensive coordinator left this morning. And as I was leaving the Denver airport on walkways, they called him, and Lou said, yeah, I'm interested. And Lou went to Colorado, and then he went on to be head coach at Illinois. But anyway, so while I was interviewing, it was Eddie Crowder. He was the athletic director, former football coach at Oklahoma?
At Colorado.
Was it Colorado and yeah. Oklahoma or just Colorado?
Well, I remember it Colorado.
Anyway, Eddie Crowder was the AD, and he started talking about the problems they'd had with different things, eligibility, support, player development. They didn't have any discipline problems. And Doug Dickey was in charge of that. And he had to fire a guy who didn't do his job. And I remember him mentioning the name, and I said, okay, fine, whatever. So it's the summer of 85, spring of 85. My wife came here for my wife's job. My wife was a professor at Virginia Tech. So I said, she said, would you move to Tennessee? I said, yeah, if they give you a job, I'll move. So we came down for the interview. They hired her. And I remember going to, it was the year, Jimmy, you'll remember this. It was the year that Louisville played Kentucky for the first time, and they played Stokely. Am I right?
Yeah.
Spring of 85.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the NCAA tournament.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Her interview was that week. So I got tickets somewhere and went to a basketball game.
Yeah.
Who do I see? Doug Matthews. I'm talking to Doug, because Doug was at Virginia Tech when I was there.
Yeah.
So we make small talk, and he said, yeah, we got this guy doing this. He's horrible, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I didn't think much of it. I remember the name. And that summer, I remember picking up USA Today, back when they had sports. USA Today Sports used to be one page with the states.
Yeah,
I remember going down to Tennessee, and it says, today, Tennessee hired Doug Dickey as athletic director. I looked at Debbie. I said, I think I got a shot, because Doug was at Colorado when the guy there was at Colorado.
Yeah.
And I rolled the dice, and I came down here, and sure enough, the guy left right away. As soon as Doug walked in his office, the guy walked out of his office, and it was done. And Doug had no choice. I was Doug's first hire. He'd say, Tagano, I had a pool of one. It was you.
That sounds like that sounds like Doug Dickey.
Yeah, so there you have it. I got lucky. It was all luck.
I want to talk to you about current events, and one of those being name, image, and likeness. Do you believe that the college athletes should be paid?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely. Not even close.
Does that belief go back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
40.
40 years.
40 years. I can remember being at Virginia Tech. We had an outstanding coach. Outstanding coach. His son's the general manager of the Packers now, John Goodikunz. John was an outstanding coach, defense coordinator for Bill Dooley, and he signed four or five players. And John left. He went somewhere after that, and these kids were sick about it because, wait a minute, hold on, we came here for John Goodikunz, and they left. And they were really upset. And I remember thinking, well, if they came for him, why can't they go with him, okay? So then as it transpired, Bill Dooley got the first $100,000, one of the first $100,000 contracts. Guy was AD and football coach, and he got $100,000. And I remember guys didn't have money to go home for funerals. And I'm thinking to myself, I work for this guy. He makes $100,000, which was unheard of back then. And these kids don't have money to go home for funerals. They need to have get paid. They need to have something. And we're packing Lane Stadium. There's 25,000, 30,000. It's packed. And these guys can't, they don't have any money. They're broke. Then the NCAA, I think, passed, could be wrong about this, softer regulations on work, letting guys work. Okay, they had tough regulations on extracurricular activities like work, and they softened it up. Then the SEC, I believe, after we moved to Tennessee, you would know this, they passed that emergency fund.
Yeah, needy student fund.
Needy student fund. Mm-hmm. And that gave guys a little money to do some things with, you know.
Right.
Then you had the Pell Grant. Then
right.
they approved the Pell Grant on top of the scholarship. Used to be just a scholarship. That was it, period. Mm-hmm. No Pell Grants, no needy, nothing. And then they passed the needy fund and the Pell Grant. And that helped a little bit.
Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, my shoulder, my elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't enough.
But then coaches, you know, analysts make $100,000 now. You know, and coaches started making millions and millions of dollars. So I've always believed, hey, kids, people aren't going in Neyland Stadium in the fall to see Josh Heupel call plays. They're going in there to see Nico Iamaliva throw that ball around the yard.
Do you think the system that's in place is a good system? Do you think it's workable, sustainable?
Yeah. Here's why. The collectives are not a part of the university. So the collectibles are out there in the last 3 or 4 years. The University of Tennessee Athletics has had outstanding success. Some of the reasons are, you know, we had a great quarterback in 2022. We've hired a good football coach. We have an alignment now on the university campus that was there in the 90s. We have an AD, a chancellor, and a president who all work in concert. We it's time they didn't have that. One was over here, two was over there, two was, you know, they have that now. Those three people work in concert. Biggest positives, the University of Tennessee Athletics, is our collective, Spire. I'm telling you, Jimmy, in the summer of 21, when Supreme Court passed the ruling on July 1st, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Isn't that right?
Those guys hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. By August, they were up and running. No one really understands how valuable they are. They're truly valuable. And I think the model that's in place now is sustainable because when you're winning, it generates a lot of interest. And people want to win. And if you're winning, they're going to donate more. And if you're not winning, they're going to donate more. And I think the system's sustainable because the athletes are getting what they deserve. Now, the question I have is, I don't know much about it, but who determines, excuse me, who determines what Jimmy Himes' running back gets?
Well, that's determined by negotiation because that running back might be looking at 4 or 5 different schools. And Typically, he's going to go to the school that offers the most money, typically.
There you have it.
All right? So it's the market.
It's free
that determines
market.
That.
It's free market.
But see, now here's one thing about the collective that's interesting. I've heard a number of people say now that the NCAA has said $22 million is what you got to pay now to these athletes because of the settlement with the House versus NCAA, a lot of people feel like the collectives are going to be taken away and that the disbursement is going to come from the athletic departments. Do you think that's a good move?
No.
Why not?
If I'm an athletic director, I don't want 600 more employees. Number one, I don't want that. I don't have to worry about 600 more employees beyond being student athletes. Okay, mm-hmm. That's number one. That's just my opinion. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, you'd have to ask Danny that or some of the other ADs in the conference if they want those employees. Second thing is the collective works on behalf of your school, all right? And they're able to make some decisions maybe you can't make, okay? Here's the question I have. I don't know the answer to this. I don't. In your notes here, you asked a question about Title IX. That's a good question. What was the question about Title IX?
With the disbursement of the $22 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Football is the biggest revenue producer. The only other revenue producer at all schools would be men's basketball. Okay.
Yeah.
So are the football players and men's basketball players going to want the biggest cut of that $22 million? If you give it to them, what happens to Title IX?
Okay.
So then with Title IX, if they say, well, we want an equal amount, are the football players and basketball players going to balk at that?
Okay. First of all, that's a great point. I don't see Nico Iamaliva standing in the same line to get money as a women's golfer. When the president of the NCAA came out and said, we're going to do blanket across the table, everyone gets, remember that number he threw out, $30,000? Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to fly. Nico Iamaliva is not going to stand in that line, the $30,000 line with the women's golfer. That's number one. And that's just the way the nature of the beast. He can't change it. It's that way in NFL locker rooms. The center knows what he makes, and he knows that the guy behind him is going to make the most. And he's okay with that. All right, so I don't think that's doable. Maybe I'm wrong. And the other thing is a collective governed by Title IX?
It's a private business, so I don't know that it is. But it doesn't mean they can't get sued.
Okay, for what?
For equal pay.
Okay, so would you sue Tennessee for paying their football coach more than LSU's football coach?
No.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. No. I just think it's a legal thing that I don't believe. Here's another thing I want to comment on. You used a great term, and we're old guys, okay? I'm a little older than you.
Yeah, you are.
You used a term that I think is on the verge of becoming really obsolete, NCAA.
Huh?
You know, we think like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, okay, NCAA governs everything. But does it really right now? In the future, what happens when they do? You know there's going to be a super conference. Am I right or wrong?
I think there'll be a super conference. It's got to be governed by somebody.
Exactly.
Maybe themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Do you know that Vince Dooley and Bud Wilkerson, you remember this, in 1981, they sued College Football Association, wasn't that it?
They sued over the TV rights deal, that there was limitations on what games could be on TV, and they wanted to open it up.
They wanted to open it up, okay? And they accused the NCAA, they used the word cartel, of being in a cartel.
Yeah.
Well, they were right, everything they said, because you asked a question here about Ole Miss. Well, the rich are going to get richer. How are you going to stop that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know an answer to that. I just think right now we have a pretty solid collective. We really do, but they can't compete.
A.G. Hines & Company, a popular place for folks to shop for building materials and tools. They've been selling building materials and tools since anyone can remember.
Let me give you an example. This is your alma mater. I read somewhere a couple days ago, Jimmy, that LSU...
That's not my alma mater.
Oh, it's not. You're right. But you love LSU.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I always
don't start. No, don't start all that. I've been through that for 40 years up here.
Have you? Okay.
I'm not an LSU guy.
All right.
Go ahead.
LSU, the athletic department, if I'm wrong now, you'd have to look this up. I think the LSU collective is now working with the LSU athletic department, and they're giving incentives. See, that's the key to this whole collective. If Jimmy Himes is going to write a check for $1 million to Aspire Collective, what does he get? What's he get?
Well, he's not getting anything.
Nothing. He doesn't get a write-off. He doesn't get any tickets. He doesn't get parking. He just loves the University of Tennessee Athletics, and he knows that $1 million is going to get a quarterback or a wide receiver or a point guard or a pitcher.
A player.
Yeah. Going to get a player. But he doesn't get anything. Well, I believe, you'd have to look this up, I believe in the last week, LSU is now working with their collective on giving incentives through the university. That's a huge advantage. Huge advantage.
Well, can't everybody do that?
I don't know.
If LSU can do it, everybody
should
be able
to do it. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
But I know it happened. We have to think in those terms, and maybe we are. You know, I don't know, Jimmy. Maybe the athletic department is, you know, getting ready to work with the collective. But the collectives aren't going away, I don't think, for a while. I could be wrong.
Do you think that the student-athletes, their deals should be made public? They wanted the salaries of coaches made public. I mean, or they're made public. They wanted the ability to move like coaches do. So at public schools, should the NIL deals be made public?
I probably would say no. for the simple reason that, you know, I wouldn't want my public, my salary to be public, and I, you know.
But it was.
Yeah, it was, because I was a state employee.
Correct.
They're not state employees.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet, if that happens. But, no, I don't think so. You know, but the flip side of it is the locker room, I guess. You know, in the locker room, never discount the locker room. You know, if the right guard's getting this and the tackle's getting this and he thinks he's getting that, but he's not sure. Again, though, it works its way out, you know, because they're getting something. One coach in 2021, when this went into effect, one college football coach called in his whole team, called his whole team in, and he had a overhead, big overhead, and he had a check up there. Made out $25,000 to Jimmy Himes. And he turned around and he said, "Listen, everyone in this room is going to get $25,000, $2,000 a month. But these guys in the front row, All-American last year, preseason All-American this year, runner-up Heisman last year, they're going to get more. They're going to get more than the rest of you guys. Just like I get more than my coaches. If anyone has a problem, come in my office, we'll talk about it." At the time, to that right guard, that $25,000 was like $250,000. Now, I don't know if you can get away with that now, but he put it right out there, established it, this is how it's going to be. And, you know, I guess people accepted it, kids accepted it, you know.
Transfer portal. We've seen a lot of folks take advantage of that, going to different schools, many of them quarterbacks that have transferred to another school. Hendon Hooker's a great example of that, that prospered at his new school. You got Justin Fields. There are a lot of them that have done that.
Dalton Kinnett
is one in basketball, absolutely. Do you like the idea that these players can basically become a free agent every year, or do you think there should be restrictions?
There should be some restrictions, maybe tighter than they are, but you can't stop a kid from transferring. First of all, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and it's not going back in, and kids are going to be able to transfer. I guess you could split hairs a bunch of different ways, but no. Kids can transfer. I saw where you put down, can only transfer once a grad student. I don't know how it's going to fly.
Whether it flies or not, do you think that would be a good idea?
Oh, yeah, probably. There has to be some restrictions. Right now, it's just it's Wild West.
Yeah, it's free-for-all.
Yeah, it's a free-for-all right now. And there has to be some restrictions. But how are you going to put them in without potential lawsuits now that you've already established a criteria? You know, see, here's the problem. They all came together at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there was no process time. There's no time to think about it.
Was time to think about it. They sat on their rear ends and didn't do anything about it for years. That's a problem.
Mark Emmert got beat up for years and years and years about transferring, about paying. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not doing that. We're not doing it. But when did it all happen? When he retired. Mm-hmm. I think he left everyone with this, said, "Here, do with it. Deal with it."
Yeah, it was coming.
Yeah.
Well, part of it came under his watch.
It did.
But I think that he dropped the ball in not having a plan.
100%. 100%.
That's led to the chaos. Now, my suggestions are not considering whether there's going to be a lawsuit. I'm just thinking what I would like to see and what I think is better for college athletics. And one of my things is you're not allowed to transfer after your freshman year unless your coach moves, because so many players get homesick. They're down on the depth chart. So they want to move right away, and they do. I don't like the idea that there's a quarterback out there that's on his fifth different school in 5 years. I don't like that. So I would have some restrictions. Would there be lawsuit? There might be. But I just think for the betterment, I think they should have
a restriction.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is
– here's the question. How many kids transfer for this, and how many kids transfer for this?
I think that now they transfer more for the money.
I do, too.
It used to be playing time.
Yeah, I do, too.
So, do you have concerns with the transfer portal in that? And this is a fact that it's actually taken away a lot of opportunities for high school kids, because colleges are now looking to fill a slot of a quarterback, a receiver, an offensive lineman, a cornerback with a transfer portal guy instead of a high school player.
Absolutely. You're 100% right on that. It's definitely going to have an impact on that, because I can get a kid who played at middle, and I saw him compete at the college level. Mm-hmm. So I know what he can and can't do, as opposed to a kid from, you know, Jones High School. You know, yeah. He's got some ability, but I haven't seen him compete. I'll tell you one of the things that really bothers me. Not many things bother me, because I'm pretty open-minded to change, because I've seen it. Really bothers me is this term opt out. I'm going to opt out of the bowl game.
Yeah, and
then your coach lets you stand on the sidelines with your jersey. Okay, let's think about the NFL. You're in your last year of your contract, and you're getting ready to go into January, and your team's 2-12, whatever, and you say, hey, I'm going to opt out. I'm not going to play these last four games. I'm a free agent anyway, so I'm going to opt out. You think they'd let you stand on the sidelines with a uniform on? They'd clean your locker out so fast, you'd be gone. You'd be in the stands.
And they would fine you. They would dock your pay if you won't play.
Yeah. Now, I get it. The bowl games aren't going to be as important as the playoffs, and the playoffs mm-hmm. are probably going to get bigger and expand. I get that. But this opting out and letting a kid stand on the sidelines, I guess that's the old school in me. I wouldn't do that.
It's in me, too. Do you think in an NIL deal that they would make you say, I'm playing in a bowl game, too?
Yeah. Yeah, that should be part of the contract. Hey, mm-hmm. you're going to get this, you know, $100,000 for 12 months or whatever. And if you want to leave in January, fine, but you're playing 13 games. Mm-hmm. This is part of your deal. You're playing 13 games. And if you're not, then we're going to dock you. And we're not going to let you stand on the sidelines with a jersey on.